NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by genuine General Motors parts. When replacement parts are needed, specify GM, United Delco, and AC. Now with the news, Jeffrey Pond.
American and South Vietnamese government forces stepped up the effort to protect Saigon today, while Hanoi Radio said the Viet Cong are planning a heavy new attack against the capital. U.S. B-52 bombers hit infiltration routes leading from Cambodia to Saigon, while Allied troops searched for Viet Cong rocket positions near the city. Enemy gunners today shelled the southern edge of Saigon, the Bien Hoa Air Base, and several other military and civilian installations in various parts of South Vietnam. In Paris, a statement was published today in which the chief North Vietnamese negotiator in the talks with the U.S. said the fight will go on until all American bombings cease unconditionally and all U.S. troops leave Vietnam. There was no hint of a response to Ambassador Harriman's warning that continued Viet Cong attacks on Saigon might jeopardize the Paris talks. South Vietnamese President Thieu has dismissed the country's Minister of State, Phan Quang Don, because Don said Saigon ought to start negotiating with the Viet Cong. More news after this from General Motors.
Here's something everyone should try at least once this summer. Get up about an hour before dawn. Get in your car and drive right to the water's edge. Then you wait. Wait for the sunrise. If you're driving a GM car, you've already got a good thing going. To keep it going great, always ask for GM, United Delco, and AC replacement parts. Genuine General Motors parts made just like the originals to perform like new. Keep your GM car all GM. And remember, one of these tomorrows there's a beautiful sunrise waiting just for you.
Once again, Jeffrey Pond.
The government of South Vietnam has finally taken action toward a uniform military draft. The story from Jack Russell, NBC News, Saigon.
The National Assembly has passed the General Mobilization Bill that will swell the nation's armed forces to over 1 million men by autumn. The bill was heatedly debated for more than 2 months in both houses of Parliament. Major objections were raised over the ages of men to be called into service. In its final form, the law will draft all men between 18 and 38 years of age. Defense Ministry officials say this will increase the armed forces by 260,000 men. General mobilization was first proposed by President Thieu at the time of his election last fall. However, the president and lawmakers were reluctant to force through such a law until after the communist Tet Offensive. Then, almost all agreed that South Vietnam must do more itself to defeat the enemy. Jack Russell, NBC News, Saigon.
The biggest item on President Johnson's schedule today at the ranch is more consultation with advisors on stronger gun control legislation. In Chicago, the U.S. Conference of Mayors will vote today on whether to ask Congress to ban pistols for all civilians except law enforcement officers. The Poor People's Wagon Train reached Atlanta, Georgia today without further trouble, under a compromise that let the mule-drawn wagons use an interstate superhighway in the early morning hours. In Warsaw, a military court today convicted a young Polish civilian defense employee of giving military secrets to British agents. He's 28-year-old Adam Kaczmarczyk. He's sentenced to die. More in a moment.
Highway Holidays 68. One of the great ones awaits you at the Dazzling Hemisphere World Exposition at San Antonio, Texas. And the going is great, too, when you relax, refresh, and refuel at Stuckey's, America's famous highway refreshment centers coast to coast. Now you get a generous box of Stuckey's crisp peanut brittle free with purchase of 10 or more gallons of gas. Offer void where prohibited. Every trip's a pleasure trip when you stop at Stuckey's.
French President de Gaulle today let some of his right-wing political enemies out of prison in a bid for political support in the forthcoming elections. Those released included ex-General Raoul Salan, who'd been sentenced to life in prison 6 years ago for leading the terrorist army that tried to keep Algeria French. Surgeons at Innsbruck University in Austria have made a man out of 20-year-old Erika Schinniger, the Austrian woman skier who won the world's downhill championship 2 years ago. His name is Eric now. His mother disclosed today that Shiniger underwent 4 sex change operations recently after developing male sex characteristics that led him to quit the Austrian women's ski team before last winter's Olympics. Once again, the hour's top story. Allied forces stepped up the effort to protect Saigon today as Hanoi said the Viet Cong plan a heavy new attack on the capital. Jeffrey Pond, NBC News, New York.
Listen again in the hour when Stuckey's Roadside Refreshment Centers bring you NBC Monitor News.
This is John Wolfe, WNBC News. It's 105, 80 degrees in New York and sunny. 2 reputed members of the militant Revolutionary Action Movement have been convicted for plotting to kill civil rights leaders Whitney Young and Roy Wilkins. Herman Ferguson, a suspended assistant school principal, and Arthur Harris were found guilty early this morning by an all-male jury in Queens Supreme Court. Ferguson and Harris are free on $20,000 bail. No date has been set for sentencing. A gunman's need for narcotics may have been the motive for the shooting of a Brooklyn physician late Friday night. Dr. Harold Rames, 66, of Brooklyn, was shot to death on DeKalb Avenue in Bedford-Stuyvesant. Dr. Rames' medical bag was missing. His car was found 4 blocks away from the scene. He was believed to have been making a house call in the area. A West Side Committee for Decentralization holds election of a community school board. That story from WNBC News reporter Walt Wheeler.
The election here has not been approved by the New York City Board of Education. A committee member, Mrs. Edith Rood, explained.
Way back in April 1967, Dr. Donovan made a number of decentralization projects, and we were one of them. We were designated at that time, together with IS 201 and with Ocean Hill Brownsville. Only in our case, Dr. Donovan, the following January, went back on his commitment and told us that we could not be recognized as a demonstration unit. It was then too late for us to do anything but carry on and go ahead and organize ourselves.
Hence, says Mrs. Rood, the election, and also it'll be up to the local board elected today to win recognition from the central board. 5 schools and about 5,000 children are involved in this ethnically and economically mixed neighborhood. Voter turnout is said to be good. Walt Wheeler, WNBC News at 96th and Columbus Avenue.
The present WNBC temperature is 80 degrees, and it's sunny, mostly sunny, quite warm this afternoon, high near 90, becoming partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-60s, mostly cloudy and cooler on Sunday, a chance of showers. Repeating the present WNBC temperature, it's 80 degrees, John Wolfe, WNBC News.
This is our birthday, so here's a toast.
Monitor's been growing, not older, but younger in spirit, and we zoom into our 14th year of going places and doing things. I'm your host, Gene Rayburn, and I'm not quite sure where we're going next, but Jack Jones is leading the way.
Follow me wherever this road may lead. Don't look back, it's a one-way track. Love is all we need. So take my hand. Ahead. Follow me. until my time is through. I'll get along, sing my song, as long as I got you. So take my hand, I'll understand. Follow me, come on, follow me.
Floors can make it a hard life. One tiny slip means another tough break. But now into your big, hard, clattering world comes J.P. Stevens with a couple of softies. Stevens Merryweather and Merryair indoor-outdoor carpet made with Vectra fiber. Designed to go where most other carpets wouldn't dare. Places like kitchens, bathrooms, family rooms, patios, porches. You see, Vectra fiber makes Merryweather and Merryair stain-resistant, fade-resistant, and remarkably rugged. They can't rot, and they aren't affected by mildew. And to make your life even softer, Merryair comes with its own built-in rubber backing. You're going to love what J.P. Stevens has done for that hard world of yours. Of course, having Junior tramp across the kitchen floor sounding like this may take some getting used to.
It may come as a shock to the teenage and early 20s generation, but there's at least one member of the over 25 group who's also concerned with the dignity of the individual and the meaning of man's existence. He's our monitor guest, J.P. Miller, who wrote the powerful drama about alcoholism called Days of Wine and Roses, and he's just had his first novel published called The Race for Home. Well, as an old friend, it's a pleasure to welcome you, J.P.
Thank you, Gene.
You know, it's a little unfair to discuss a brand new book, which our listeners haven't had a chance to read, so how would you like to try to give us a very brief description as a reference point, just a brief synopsis?
Well, the book is basically about a young man in those long-gone and ancient times who is trying to drop in instead of out.
Mm-hmm.
He started off life out.
Yeah.
And in that, he kind of had an advantage over today's affluent youth, who really, many of them have no place to go.
What about some of the customs and mores of those times in the Depression era versus today's times? Young people's attitudes towards sex and their attitude toward older generation.
Oh, well, they, of course, then there was a false respect, I think, for the older generation. At least in Matagorda County, Texas, people were afraid of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
The rod was being used to not spoil the child. It was considered an important factor in school.
Yeah.
And so kids behaved in school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say that that's a good thing or a bad thing. I simply say it was different then. You couldn't get away with what you can get away with now.
Did the young people in those days feel they couldn't change things, that they had no power, no voice, no influence?
I think most young people in those days who had any interest in that sort of thing didn't want to just go and raise tomatoes like their father did. I think they sort of secretly sat back and said, well, when I get a little older, I'm going to take over and I'm going to make a better world. And it's going to be peaceful. And we're not going to be fighting each other, and everybody's going to be prosperous, and we're going to make love, not war. And we just didn't march around the streets, but we had those secret thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Well, the kids are saying those same things today, aren't they?
I hope they make out better than we did.
Well, does that mean that you approve of some of the things that have been going on at places like Columbia?
I love some of the things that are going on.
Darbonne and the Columbia.
I don't approve of the violence. I don't approve of people who say that they hate war except when it's to gain their point.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I don't approve of that.
Yeah.
It's the same old thing, you know, mm-hmm. people excusing their own violence because they're right.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they're right?
Absolutely not. I think, though, that any university which will get involved in the production of a cigarette filter must be doing something wrong.
Well,
they must have done a few other things wrong, which you and I, not going to Columbia, don't know about. I'm sure that things could stand a shaking up,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that means a burning down.
Any advice from the author, J.P. Miller, of a powerful play about the effect of alcoholism to the generation that's espousing the cause of joy through marijuana?
Yeah, I would say there is absolutely no way to make a better world by copping out.
Boy, that says it in a very short, pithy sentence. So I guess what you're saying is that the young people, instead of resigning from the human race, if they joined the establishment and bore from within, they could get a lot more changes, couldn't they?
Of course they could. And changes are being made. And I hear people lamenting all the time about what a terrible world we have and what a terrible country we have. But I must say, I think we're making improvements all the time. I think that people have more civil rights than they had 20, 30 years ago. People in general have more money. In general, they have more education. In general, they're pointing to a better life for everyone in the world. We're even being concerned about other people in the world for the first time. And hippieism and drugism is a form of personal isolation, which doesn't change anything. It's a form of cowardice.
Mm-hmm. So things are getting better, slowly, but better.
Absolutely. It's measurable.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking much too much time, but I don't know any better way to do it. Anarchy won't do it. That's tearing down and starting over.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that a few times already.
All right, J.P. Miller. Thank you very much for coming and visiting with our monitor listeners here. It's been a pleasure having you as our guest. And we heartily recommend J.P. Miller's new book, the novel called The Race for Home to One and All. Will you come back in sometime, J.P.?
Anytime you invite me.
Hi, this is Coppertone's Hollywood correspondent, Army Archer, visiting Ann Randall, delightful co-star of The Fakers. It's an exciting picture, Ann.
Oh, yes, it's full of spies and counter-spies. And you soon realize that no one is ever what he seems to be.
But I have no trouble realizing that you've joined the Tannables.
You're right, Army, and I know you get a better tan with Coppertone. It helps me tan faster, deeper, richer. And it keeps my skin so satiny soft and smooth.
That's exactly why millions of sun lovers say, tan, don't burn, use Coppertone.
A Coppertone tan does such wonderful things for a girl.
When eating too much or too fast causes pressure and gas, Digel works as no plain antacid can. It neutralizes excess acid and has the extra action of simethicone that breaks up bubbles of gas. D-I-G-E-L, Digel, the extra action antacid for more complete relief.
Time now is 18 minutes past the hour in the place. Well, to use the vernacular, it's where it's at, baby. You're on the monitor beacon.
Are you looking for a drink to make you cool from your head down to your toes? Well, stop that looking and start sipping Lipton. Icy Lipton Tea. It's a cool summer sipper that'll beat the heat, refresh you down to the bottoms of your feet. Sip Icy Lipton Tea.
Tastes clean.
Tastes cool.
It's fun.
Because Lipton's flow-through tea bag gives you two bags of flavor in one. I said two bags of flavor in one. A lot more flavor. That's why you get a lot more refreshment when you buy the flow-through bag with the Lipton tag. Your kids will love it. Your spouse will love it. You'll love it with meals. Alone or with food, it's the briskest flavor ever brewed. Refresh, my friend. Come on, get cool. Start sipping Lipton. Icy Lipton Tea.
Right now.
Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York.
I Found Love by the Free Design, and you found them on Monitor.
I found love, didn't even know I needed it, but I found love,
never even crossed my mind.
I found love,
had a guy who never needed it,
but I found love,
took an apple just in time.
I found love in the fall, and it did not hurt at all.
another tip for the outdoor chef. To get charcoal to proper cooking heat in a hurry, remove both ends of a large-size fruit juice can, stand the can upright on top of the barbecue grill, fill with coals, and ignite. The can acts as a flue, creating a draft which speedily heats coals. When coals are red hot, remove can by lifting from the top with a pair of tongs, spread coals evenly, and barbecue away.
Hot dogs! I'm a hot dog!
When do kids like Harmer hot dogs? Lunchtime, dinner time, snack time, anytime. Kids like the great all-meat taste of Harmer hot dogs.
Hot dogs kids love to bite.
Sing it! Next, Monitor presents the Gallup poll, originated by the world-famous public opinion expert, Dr. George Gallup. With him, his longtime associate, Rex Marshall.
Dr. Gallup, we frequently hear debates about the vast amount of money needed to run for public office, the claim that only a wealthy man can afford it these days. Now, the published estimates that over $3 million were spent by the Democratic candidates in the California primary alone certainly raises the question again. How does the public feel about campaign spending?
Well, Rex, there's little doubt that the public is concerned about this question. In a recent national survey, we asked this question: would you favor or oppose a law which would put a top limit on the amount of money which can be spent by or for a candidate for public office?
And how did people respond to that?
Well, 7 out of 10 adults, nearly 70%, are in favor of such a law. The chief reason given for the favorable vote on such a ceiling is that many outstanding persons of limited financial means do not run for office because of the costs involved.
Well, aren't there some laws on the books now covering this question?
Yes, Rex, there are some laws which are designed to control the amounts that any person or organization can contribute to a campaign, but these laws can be evaded or avoided in many different ways.
Now, Doctor, what's the position of people who would oppose any ceiling on spending?
Well, the chief argument of those opposed to a limit on spending is that such a move would prevent a candidate from presenting his case to the widest possible audience. But there are alternatives. One plan would require all radio and television stations to give a certain amount of free time to national political parties during election years. This is important, for television costs, as you know, are a large part of any campaign budget.
That certainly would help them get wider exposure, wouldn't it?
Yes, and still another plan is to have the government print and distribute it free of charge a pamphlet dealing with the views of each candidate for national office. This would be mailed to all households in each district.
Incidentally, do they have the same problem in all Democratic countries?
Yes, Rex. Take Great Britain, for example. There you'll find strict laws in effect to limit spending. In a race for a seat in Parliament, for example, each candidate is limited to an expenditure of between $2,000 and $3,000. Each candidate has the right to send one mailing piece to all voters, postage free.
Is there any qualified feeling that that system would work over here?
Well, Rex, some who have studied this problem of campaign spending believe that a ceiling is impractical. Yet the fact of the matter is that our survey showed that 7 out of every 10 Americans believe there should be some ceiling on campaign spending. When we realize the final cost of the 1968 presidential campaign, it is estimated at nearly $50 million, an increase of $15 million over the 1964 campaign, there's some room for concern about the cost of running for office and the ability of the man with talent but without means to have an equal chance to present his case.
Thank you, Dr. Gallup. We look forward to talking with you again tomorrow. This is Rex Marshall for Monitor.
The Gallup poll is a regular feature on Monitor every weekend.
Blanche, be perfectly still. I think I got a bite.
Well, don't hurt him, John.
Oh, for Pete's sake, it's only a trout, Blanche. Quick, open the creel. I got him.
What's the creel?
It's the wicker basket you're wearing over your shoulder.
He won't fit in there. It's full of Coffee Rich.
Coffee Rich? What am I going to do with this fish?
Throw him back. You know how you love Coffee Rich in your coffee every morning. You always say Coffee Rich tastes better than cream and brings out the full-bodied flavor of even my coffee.
Hold the creel still, Blanche. This trout is slippery.
And you like the lively new flavor that Coffee Rich gives to your morning cereal.
I know, and I like Coffee Rich on fruit, too. But we didn't need a whole creel full. We're only going to be here 3 weeks.
Well, Coffee Rich keeps 3 weeks in the refrigerator. And I'll use some to make a cream sauce for the trout you catch. I got the most wonderful recipe from my mother.
What a gorgeous thing.
Really? I didn't think you liked my mother, John.
I'm talking about the trout. Put him in your pocket, Blanche, and get back to the lodge.
That was Don Amici and Francis Langford as the Bickersons. Find Coffee Rich in your grocer's frozen food case in the blue and white carton.
One great advantage in dealing with an Oldsmobile dealer is his wide range of prices. Starting with F-85, ranging through Cutlass S to the full-size Delmont 88, and then on to the 98 and Toronado. There is, for a fact, a young rocket for every pocket. See your nearest Oldsmobile dealer now during his Youngmobile saving season.
Give old and young with a world, young it up for real with a Youngmobile.
Youngmobile.
Hung out on the NBC line coast to coast every weekend in Central Florida on WKIS Orlando. Radio Kiss in the heart of the citrus country, Gene Rayburn.
Radio's happiest teenager, Monitor, starts its 14th year this weekend on NBC Radio.
How many millions of stars in the galaxy were watching? How many mortars and rockets and grenades were fired? How many infinities and eternities and hells did they live through? These men of the Green Berets. And how much did they have to say to each other when it was all written in their eyes? The watching, the waiting, the moving forward and the moving backwards, and then the relentless moving forward again. Warner Brothers Seven Arts has made a movie of Robin Moore's blockbuster bestseller, starring John Wayne, David Janssen, Jim Hutton, and an exciting all-star cast in Technicolor. No, this is not a story of heroics or heroes. It's a story of men, the men of the Green Berets.
Premieres Wednesday at the Warner Theater, Broadway at 47th Street.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
Thank you. gun monitor going out of my head, Percy Faith Orchestra and chorus.
Kennedy summer home in Hyannisport, Massachusetts, Mrs. Rose Kennedy and Senator Edward Kennedy addressed this message to the nation and the world at large. First, Senator Kennedy.
I hope the countless thousands who have sent their expressions of sympathy and condolence to Ethel Kennedy and my mother and father and to the members of the Kennedy family could realize the strength and the hope that they have given to the members of the family during these last several days. This has not been the first tragedy that has affected my parents or the members of our family, and we pray that it is the last. But on each instance, in spite of a world of cruelty, we have been much more impressed with the compassion, with the love and the warmth of the human heart than we have of any other emotion. We're deeply indebted to President Johnson and Mrs. Johnson for their words as well as their actions, to the Vice President of the United States for his assistance. And we've been consoled by His Holiness Pope Paul, to the Secretary General of the United Nations, to the heads of states and many political leaders. But most of all, it's been the people. The people themselves with outstretched hands of sympathy and strength that have most touched the heart of the members of my family. It's the ones who could give the least who have given the most. Those who have expressed their grief and who've raised their voices, to the members of our family, we will always be deeply grateful. To the thousands who filed through St. Patrick's and stood on the streets of New York, and stood on that railroad embankment, the other thousands who stood in the rain in Washington, D.C. To those in California, the longshoremen that pause for a few minutes in their work, to the graduates and the commencement speakers in the Midwest, to those who offered prayers on the battleship Massachusetts in my own state of Massachusetts in Fall River, we'll never be able to express adequately in words our thanks, but we will in our deeds, in our public and private lives. And to those who began the campaign and carried on the campaign for the ideals which Robert Kennedy believed, that dream still remains. Those hopes still remain. And each of us will have to decide in a private way, in our own hearts, in our own consciences, what we will do in the course of this summer and in future summers. And I know we'll choose wisely. Ethel and the members of the family are doing well. They have returned to school. Their oldest daughter, Kathleen, is teaching in an Indian reservation this summertime. They have the strength that their father has given them. We pray to God that the Lord will give them the help to carry on. Now my mother would like to say a few words.
I want to extend our thanks to all of you who sent us your messages of condolence during the time of our last bereavement. We know this sympathy came from your hearts, and our hearts responded with deep appreciation. We cannot always understand the ways of Almighty God, the crosses which he sends us, the sacrifices which he demands of us. But we know his great goodness and his love. And we go on our way with no regrets for the past, not looking backwards to the past, but we shall carry on with courage. We have courage for the future, and we shall carry on the principles for which Bobby stood. His devotion and dedication are familiar to us, and so we shall honor him, not with vain regrets and mourning, but by acting now to relieve the starvation of the people in this country, and working now for the great masses of inarticulate people for whom he felt so deeply and for whom he worked so long, during the nights as well as the days. We shall remember, too, Ethel and his children, with whom he played and laughed so gaily. And we want them to remember him not only as a parent who shared their youthful joys and their enthusiasms, but as a man who gave his heart and soul and strength for the betterment of humanity and for the spiritual enrichment and honor of this great country of ours, the United States of America.
From Hyannisport, Massachusetts, we have heard a message from Mrs. Rose Kennedy. Her message was preceded by one from Senator Edward Kennedy. This is Monitor 68. Breeze along on this beautiful, at least here in New York, this beautiful June day. Monitor 68, I'm Gene Rayburn. Here's a monitor tip that could help make your picnic less messy. When the ketchup seems to be reluctant to leave its bottle, don't pound the bottle or shake it and risk spraying everything when it finally spurts out. Instead, insert a drinking straw through the ketchup to the bottom of the bottle and then withdraw it. The small amount of air provided in this manner will be enough to start the ketchup flowing easily. Now here's another tip.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks, tough kids, sissy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids eat day or night. When kids fight dogs, they yell,
Hooray! For hot dogs! Armor hot dogs! The dogs, kids, love to fight!
Now, Dr. Joyce Brothers brought to you... In one moment, the man who helps Hollywood go to the races. Monitor Sports is brought to you by DuPont Lucite Work Skipper Paints for just about any painting job you have.
The following offer is void where prohibited by law, but the rest of you could get lucky. Just imagine getting a check for $500 every weekend for a year. That's the grand prize in the Lucite Work Skipper Sweepstakes. Hundreds of other prizes, too. Enter wherever they sell DuPont Lucite, the Work Skipper paints. Imagine $500 every weekend for a year. No purchase required. Offer closes June 28th. Get your free entry blank at your Lucite dealers. In Wisconsin, see local papers for entry rules.
When your car engine sounds sick.
Give it a treatment. DuPont Golden 7 Oil Treatment.
Glove, 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 glove.
DuPont Golden 7 restores lost power, stops excess oil burning, actually does seven things to get your car engine back in the groove.
When a Hollywood motion picture company decides to make a film about auto racing, it must first make sure that the stars know something about the sport. And that's what driver Bob Bondurant's task is these days at the Road America course in Elkhart, Wisconsin. A report from Monitor's Lionel Aldrich.
Bob Bondurant, you've got the difficult job of making race car drivers out of Paul Newman and Robert Wagner. How's it going?
Well, actually, I'm quite pleased. It's going very well. They've been good students, they concentrate well, and I really feel good about it.
Now, these cars are going well over 100 miles an hour. Did you find that initially they had maybe a little nerve problem in the beginning?
Yes, in fact, I had quite a funny scene down at my school in Orange County. I took them out in the Group 7 car for the first time. I'd already instructed them in all my other school cars. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to do is impress upon them the fact that the cars are very fast. I gave them a pretty much of a flat-out ride.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul came back and says, there's no way I'm ever going to drive one. I says, yes. I said, tomorrow morning you'll drive one, but much, much slower. And we start out slow and work up bit by bit. And when I feel I've reached a certain peak, then I move them up to the next step.
Now, you have done quite a bit of driving with them before you come here to Elkhart Lake to do the filming, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yeah, the only thing is, I taught Paul for 6 days, taught him to drive seven different cars, including some of them were Group 7 car like he's driving here, Grand National stock car, and also a Indy car. So he's had quite a bit of brief experience, but then when you're away from it, you have to get reorientated, which is what we've been doing this last week up here with both Paul and Robert Widener.
Now, the difficult job of making these people look like race car drivers and not actors must be really something tremendous. What's the first step you go about in creating this feeling within themselves?
Well, you want to teach them all the little basic things that go on around racing. Mm-hmm. The terminology, you set them in the car properly, you teach them how to put the helmet on properly so they don't look like they're being clumsy about it. And gradually, they start doing all of this automatically.
Now, we have a halfback in football that fumbles a football. One of the most effective methods is to make him carry it around and sleep with it. What do you do to a race car driver that maybe doesn't get the hang of it right away?
Well, you just have to keep working with them longer and longer. But you have to really direct it around the individual and his own personality And just like this fellow drops the football and fumbles, you have to go by what they can do and then start finding a way to improve it. Sometimes you play hell trying to get them to do something, but you have to really kind of psych them out.
Well, Bob, I know that at 170 miles an hour, it'd be a little bit too effective to drop a football. And the things, what we've seen here, it's pretty exciting, and I'm sure it will continue to be. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
This is Lionel Aldridge reporting for Monitor Sports from the Road America track at Elkhart, Wisconsin.
Incidentally, actor Paul Newman tried to pick up some additional experience by attending an Indianapolis 500 pre-race drivers meeting. The meeting was staged near the pits, which contained more than 8,000 gallons of fuel. So what did Newman do? He lit off a cigarette there, and about eight people jumped 9 feet off the ground, and I guess he'll know better the next time. Now, a word about Stuckey's Roadside Refreshment Centers. Highway Holidays 68. One of the great ones awaits you at the Dazzling Hemisphere World Exposition at San Antonio, Texas. And the going is great, too, when you relax, refresh, and refuel at Stuckey's, America's famous highway refreshment centers coast to coast. Now you get a generous box of Stuckey's crisp peanut brittle free with purchase of 10 or more gallons of gas. Offer void where prohibited. Every trip's a pleasure trip when you stop at Stuckey's.
Would you really rather have a Buick? A Buick or brand new Buick? Wouldn't you really rather have a Buick this year?
You would really rather have a Buick, wouldn't you? Then Buick Bargain Days are for you. Buick Bargain Days are very special days. The best days ever to get the Skylark, Special Deluxe, Grand Sport, the Sabre, Wildcat, Electra 225, or Riviera that you've always wanted. Equipped the way you want it, priced the way you want it. Buick Bargain Days are here, happening for you at every Buick showroom right now.
Wouldn't you really rather have a Buick? A Buick? A brand new Buick? All the bright, exciting new Buicks are here.
Now, in case you weren't with us a little earlier in this half hour, we thought you'd like to know that Mrs. Rose Kennedy and Senator Edward Kennedy broadcast their appreciation of the entire Kennedy family for the sympathy and kindness shown to them by the nation and the world at large during the recent tragedy in their family. You're on the Monitor Beat.
Hello, this is Jim Gerhardt. I'm outgoing. Well, anyway, my calls are...
Hello?
Oh, is this the Grand Canyon?
Yes, it is.
I'd like some information, please, if you can give it to me. What is the size of the Grand Canyon?
Well, let me see if I can look it up quick. I don't know if I can. All I can tell you is it's about 217 miles long and 14 miles wide and a mile deep.
If I can figure this out roughly, then we're going to need 50 cubic miles of peat moss and about 20 cubic miles of sheep manure. Not to mention the topsoil. I just sort of envision this as the world's largest geranium pot. Has that ever been suggested to you before?
Well, I would prefer a rose garden myself.
Jim Gerhardt, 2 to 4 p.m. weekdays, WNBC. Try putting me on.
Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York. This is Gene Rayburn, and you're with Monitor. The time, 9 minutes before the hour.
Hi, this is Coppertone's Hollywood correspondent, Army Archer, visiting Mitzi Gaynor. Mitzi, you're an actress, dancer, singer. What a schedule.
And I love every minute of it.
But when do you have time to relax? Get so marvelously tan.
Oh, there are many days like this, Army, with nothing to do but enjoy the warm sun. And then I let Coppertone do the work.
I like the glamorous results.
I do think Coppertone gives you a better tan. Deeper and darker. And what's more, I love the way it softens my skin like a fine body lotion. I think a Coppertone tan does wonderful things for a girl.
Mitzi Gaynor, I couldn't agree more.
It's stuffy.
Rotten. Miserable.
Whatever you call heartburn and acid indigestion, Digel relieves the symptoms. Digel is the extra action antacid.
It neutralizes excess acid and has the extra action of simethicone that breaks up bubbles of gas. Digel for more complete relief.
Now, Dr. Joyce Brothers, brought to you by Madison Laboratories, makers of Nupurcanil cream, spray, lotion, and anti-ivy lotion.
The country's had a week of reflection after the sad events of last weekend, and I have some comments on what's become the American nightmare after this word from Madison Laboratories.
When your skin is on fire with sunburn, reach quickly for soothing Nupurcanil. When you smooth on Nupurcanil, the heat's off, the cool's on. The pain and burning sting are relieved. It's that fast because it's a topical anesthetic. Nupurcanil cream and lotion also lubricate taut, dry, sunburned skin. And with your skin calmed, soothed, and softened, you can forget the annoying discomforts of sunburn. Wear clothes comfortably. You needn't fear the slightest touch, nor will sunburn keep you awake nights. Nupurcanil is also a great comfort for minor burns, cuts, scratches, and non-poisonous insect bites. So when sunburn strikes, smooth on Nupurcanil, cream, lotion, or spray. With Nupurcanil, the heat's off, the cool's on. If poison ivy creeps up on you and spreads, fight it with anti-ivy lotion. It helps you tame the itch quickly, helps to stop you from scratching and spreading the poison. Next time poison ivy gets a grip on you, use anti-ivy lotion. Once again, Dr. Joyce Brothers.
Once again, a man stood in our midst and fired the shot heard round the world. By now, it has become a frighteningly familiar sound. The American dream has become the American nightmare. In fact, approximately half of the adults in the United States will predictably have sleepless nights. For that is how many adults experience this intense physical reaction to President Kennedy's death, according to the University of Chicago's National Opinion Research Center. The death of our president, now tragically echoed by the assassination of his brother, evoked the kind of sentiments one would feel at the death of a close friend or relative, and follows a classic psychological pattern. First, shock and disbelief. Then, a growing awareness of the loss, coupled with feelings of sadness, sorrow, shame, and anger. Finally, the sleepless nights, tears, tenseness, loss of appetite. Coupled with our grief will be the horrifying knowledge that we've had this nightmare before, with the same cast. History repeating itself in less than 5 years. We can predict with reasonable accuracy the short-term effects. Our children will reflect our personal reaction, especially those who have undergone a similar experience through the loss of a parent through death or divorce. But we will have to live with the long-term attitudes. We must face up to the fact that the first Kennedy assassination did surprisingly little to alter our basic individual attitudes toward religion, communists, segregation, trust in other people, or even death. Professor of Sociology St. Clair Drake wrote in the aftermath of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King murder that, quote, however repulsive and shocking H. Rapp Brown's quip may seem, violence is as American as cherry pie. His motive in saying it must not obscure the fact that he was telling it like it is, end quote. Harvard social psychologist Thomas Pettigrew agrees. America is complex, comprising many contradictions. But evidence abounds that, among other characterizations, it is a violent society. Probably the most effective prescription we have is one very hard for most Americans to take. That is to recognize honestly to ourselves and openly to others our hostile and aggressive feelings so that they can be dealt with before they impel us to violence. This is bitter medicine to swallow. We have always preferred violence in this country to an open expression of emotion, which we regard as unmanly. Perhaps in time we will know truly that it is the coward's way to strike out, and the way of the really brave man is to face the emotions that threaten him and resolve the conflict they cause in his own personality before he finds it necessary to shoot his brother. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers for Monitor.
You'll hear Dr. Brothers again on Monitor tomorrow. Now, a Monitor tip for motorists. When stopping in heavy highway traffic or preparing to slow down to exit from the highway, it's a good idea to give the car behind you ample warning by tapping your brakes lightly a couple of times so that your stoplights act as a sort of flashing warning before you actually make that full stop or slow down. Now, here's another tip from the Air Temp Division of Chrysler Corporation.
Today, we're interviewing business executive Benson Whitaker,
What's your secret, Mr. Whitaker?
I keep cool, son. That's why I've got air temp air conditioning even in my company car. No hot mobile for me, son.
Well, what was your biggest business deal?
Air temp's the finest air conditioning for your room, house, business, and car, son.
Yes, but what was your biggest business deal?
Be sure you order a Chrysler air temp air conditioning in your new Plymouth, Dodge, Chrysler, or Imperial.
What is your business, Mr. Whitaker?
Son, I'm a big executive with Chrysler air temp.
Carnival by Mr. Jim, not to be confused with Mr. John, who makes hats. This is Gene. No, mister, just plain old Gene to you, good friend. Gene Rayburn here, latest NBC Monitor News, shortly.
This is our birthday, so here's a toast.
We're proud of Monitor and we toast.
You fellas struggling to get around that stalled truck on the Kosciuszko Bridge. While you're gasping highway fumes, take a look at that guy driving the Ambassador from American Motors. He's the one with the windows rolled up and a smile on his face. That's because he has air conditioning. The Ambassador is the only two-door car under $10,000 with air conditioning as standard equipment. You don't pay a penny extra. And best of all, the two-door Ambassador lives for under $3,000. So turn those steamy expressways into a summer playground. Drive clean and comfortable in the Ambassador, the luxury car that lets you keep your cool without laying out a lot of cold cash. Test drive the Ambassador soon, and your dealer will give you a pair of earmuffs free. He'll also give you some prices that'll warm your heart. Test drive the air-conditioned Ambassador. Get your free earmuffs at one of your 87 local New York, New Jersey American Motor Rambler dealers. And for all you Ambassador owners out there, the next few seconds of cool, comfortable music are brought to you by your friendly neighborhood American Motors dealer. WNBC, AM and FM, New York.